everybody. It's your favorite part of the Who Would Win show. No, it's Ray. Anyway, Who Would Win show has a Patreon, and if you'd like to check it out, you can find it at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Join in if you'd like to vote for future characters, talk to the infamous boardroom, and catch videos you can only find on Patreon, like outtakes or our bonus segments, Thunderdome, and the Third Degree. You can even join for free and get a heads up on our next battle before everyone else. If that sounds like something you'd like to be a part of, just go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and take your place in the conversation. Now, I got a battle to go win. I'll see you Rainiacs on the other side.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On an alien planet far from here, a strange portal opens up. From the portal drops a large red monster, seemingly banished from his homeworld through science or magic. Standing up to take in his surroundings, Red Hulk immediately decides to do what got him in trouble in the first place, and he starts a destructive rampage, leveling everything he can see. Red Hulk spots a nearby town and decides to smash on a more personal level. It is then that out from the horizon, a hero rides in on his massive battle cat. And so He-Man steps forward to greet the rampaging monster. "I'm afraid I can't let you do that, my friend," he calmly says. But Red Hulk isn't one to hear that as not a threat. And so he bounds into the air, intent on crushing his new foe. He-Man sees this and shouts, "I have the power!" with his mighty power sword, and this planet might not survive what happens next. It's Adam versus Thaddeus. It's the most powerful man in the universe versus Rulk. It's He-Man versus Red Hulk. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stikanis. In today's episode, it's another powerhouse versus powerhouse mega battle in what may be another Who Would Win classic. In one corner, you have He-Man, a mighty warrior, an 80s animated icon who defends the planet Eternia with his legendary sword and the power of Castle Grayskull. And in the other corner, you have the Red Hulk, a towering gamma radiation-fueled brute powered by rage and military cunning. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just as many times this matchup has been discussed. And, you know, I got to tell you, I was expecting a ton of mentions for this exact battle, but I actually only found one. Seems Green Hulk versus He-Man has been debated for ages, thousands of times, but not so much Red Hulk versus He-Man itself, but that all changes right now. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I'm intrigued by this one. You know, we want some bigger matchups, better names. Now, we've had both Red Hulk and He-Man on the show before. Both have won battles on the show before. So this is going to be a real clash of the titans. You know, when we have characters on that lost previous matchups, we give them redemption battles. This is what I would refer to, as I just said, a clash of the titans. Red Hulk, crazy powerful, came in and really like took out the Marvel Universe until they figured him out. And He-Man has been crushing it everywhere he's been in a way that I don't think, even despite the fact that he's been doing well on this show, I don't know that people really appreciate or give their due to how ridiculous He-Man can get.
You know, this is why I love these types of battles because, you know, a recent review on Apple Podcasts said that both Ray and I take these battles way too seriously. And by the way, they weren't wrong. When you take the raw power of He-Man and match it with what some people call the ridiculousness of 1980s animation magic, I just call it Shakespearean level storytelling, and match that with the power of the Hulk matched with the military intelligence of a five-star general, whatever you want to call it, this is what the Who Would Win show is all about. And when you have such an epic matchup, when you have two titans of geek culture going at it like the way we do today, you need to bring in the right judge who can just wrap their head around this and make sense of what's about to be, again, a Who Would Win classic. So, making another appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's the host of the Stream On podcast, it's the founder of the Cute Avalanche, the 24/7 cat channel on Twitch, it's Sam Proof. Sam, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Hey guys, how's it going?
I mean, things are going great. We've got the second epic battle of season 7. We have an insanely amazing judge who, from out of nowhere, is a rookie judge, just killed it and was a fan favorite. And you're back. This couldn't be any better. Look, before we get into today's matchup, tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, what you've been up to.
Yeah, well, it's been a hit or miss year for us. We've been, of course, doing the cat thing, and we've been fostering tons and tons of cats. And we thought we were going to foster our 200th cat this past year. But in May, tragedy struck, and we had a house fire that displaced us, sent us into an apartment, and we have not been able to foster. So we've been refocused and using the community that we've built to now shed our light on some other rescues and shelters that can really use the boost. So we're continuing to work in animal rescue and to do the good that we can do and curse the fates at the same time.
You know, this is what superheroes do. Right. You know, if tragedy hits and I'm so sorry to hear about all of this, and that is absolutely horrible. At the same time, I love that you pivoted and that now you're doing what you can to help other foundations and you know, organizations do what they do. You know, heroes don't stop what they're doing. They just change direction every once in a while to keep the mission going, which is exactly what you did. Sam, do you want to tell our fan base what they can do to jump online and help you out with your efforts?
Yeah, sure. You can go to cuteavalanche.com and find out more about who we are, what we do, and all of our links are there. You'll find fundraisers in the blog section and things like that. We also have a Patreon. If you want to join us, go to patreon.com/cuteavalanche. Make a small monthly donation to help cats in need.
Absolutely love it. Okay, now back to this episode. You know, how as a judge do you kind of juxtapose your love for 80s animation magic with the insanity of like a crazy, well-trained powerhouse for modern times like the Red Hulk?
Yeah, this is, you know, you guys, last time I was here and I was like, well, geez, this is so evenly matched. It's crazy. When I was doing Master Chief and Black Panther, and I was like, that's hard. Why do you do this? These are two transformative barbarians that start out as humans, become these rage machines, and like pound for pound, I know enough. I don't know a whole lot about Red Hulk, so there's some information to gather from there. I know enough about regular Hulk, but I watched a decent amount of He-Man, so I know a fair amount of the weird things that he can do with the super speed and the crazy breath thing. And I, you know, I think one of the things that's going to come down for it for me is I'm not sure I ever understood if the power of Grayskull was just those weird things or if there's something more to it, and you know, how long they can stay in form. Like, is this an endurance battle? I think those are some of the main points that I'm going to be looking for.
You know, it's funny. I just, you know, I'm a MMA fanatic and I love the strategy behind it. And there's this expression for heavyweights, which is this fight ain't going to last too long. It's going to end up, someone's getting knocked out. I can absolutely see that with this battle coming up. Look, it's about time. We just got to get to it. Ray, do what you do and announce today's matchup.
Representing Mattel, the hero who can't understand people being weird about pronouns, He-Man. And representing Marvel Comics, the general who got really embarrassed one time, but nobody could tell, Red Hulk.
Well done, Ray.
Now, see, James, before we go, his face turned red, but it was already red, so people couldn't tell he was embarrassed.
That's
it's kind of like when I'm crying in the fetal position in the shower. When I get out, no one can tell I was crying. They just think I was like in a really hot shower. I get it, Ray. We're on the same page. All right, before we go any further, let's go over the basics. Before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and who will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to leave the Who Would Win Show a 5-star rating and a fantastic written review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. Remember, if you leave us a great 5-star written review, there's a good chance we're going to read it on the show, or at least Ray will, and we'll have some fun with that. All right, now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for He-Man.
He-Man is a super-powered barbarian and the main character of the Masters of the Universe series. He was created by Roger Sweet and first appeared in the mini-comic book He-Man and the Power Sword back in 1981. I think it might have been packaged in with the figure. Now, toy company Mattel decided to get cheap and declined to pay the upfront cost for the Star Wars license of toys. This led to rival Kenner making buckets of money while Mattel trotted out line after line of failed action figures to compete. Oops! Don't get cheap. This changed, however, with He-Man, a powerful yet generic hero who, due to his simplicity, could work in any genre and be a power fantasy for kids everywhere. After the initial line of toys came the animated series, a live-action movie, and of course many comic book appearances. He-Man is strong, durable, and magical in many ways, fighting the bony sorcerer Skeletor to save Eternia from diabolical evil. And this brings me back all around to which version of He-Man I'm going to be representing today. Now, think about it. I do and have done for nearly 10 years now a 80s cartoon podcast called Knowing is Half the Podcast. Obviously, the version of He-Man I'm going to use today is the comic book version of He-Man that has not been used on the show before. That's right. Comic book He-Man, let's go. Fun fact, in many ways, the He-Man cartoon was the jumping off point for a crazy amount of pop culture. First off, it was the very first animated show that got away with being basically a half-hour ad for toys, helped by the fact that it was a syndicated show as opposed to being a network TV show where the standards were more stringent. But also, some of the main writers on the show went on to do really cool stuff after He-Man. For example, Douglas Booth went on to be a head writer for G.I. Joe, the Deke era, as well as being a writer for the main G.I. Joe cartoon series. J. Michael Straczynski wrote not only the amazing and overlooked comic series Supreme Power, but also created the TV show Babylon 5. He was a main writer. And finally, somebody you may have heard of, Paul Dini, wrote several episodes of Masters of the Universe, and of course he went on to become the head writer of the 90s show, something just called Batman the Animated Series. Who knew He-Man was the start of so much? Well, you do now, because I just told you. You're welcome. And that is He-Man.
Oh, so iconic. I absolutely love it. Okay, here are the facts for Red Hulk. Red Hulk, sometimes called Rulk. See, Ray, what they do is they take Red Hulk, the R of the red, and put it anyway.
It's very clever.
It is clever. One of the greatest marketing things I've ever seen in my life. Rulk is one of the most formidable and unpredictable powerhouses in the Marvel Universe. He was created by writer Jeff Loeb and artist Ed McGuinness, making his explosive debut in Hulk number 1 in January of 2008. From the start, Red Hulk struck readers with his flaming crimson appearance and a temperament even more volatile than that of the original Green Hulk. He differs significantly from the Hulk's usual portrayal by exuding intense heat as his anger grows and deploying a degree of tactical cunning that stems from his lifetime of military experience. Beneath a monstrous exterior, Red Hulk is secretly the transformed identity of General Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross, a longtime adversary of Bruce Banner. Ross's pursuit of power to defeat the Hulk ultimately led him down the path of becoming a hulking force himself. Unlike the more instinct-driven Green Hulk, Red Hulk retains enough mental acuity to conduct military-style operations, making him an especially dangerous opponent. over the years. He has straddled the line between villain and anti-hero, using his incredible might and strategic prowess to challenge both friend and foe alike in the Marvel Universe. And here's an interesting fact about Red Hulk. Did you know that there's a specific explanation as to why General Ross loses his mustache in human form when he goes and grows into the Red Hulk, who has no mustache? It's true. Look, there's many explanations for many weird things, for even weirder comic choices in comic books. For example, one of them being General Ross has a mustache as a human, but as the Red Hulk, he loses the mustache completely. Now, there is an official explanation. Supposedly, when he changes into the Red Hulk, his skin becomes many times thicker, which largely causes the hair to be unable to grow through the multiple layers of super durable skin. Right? Sounds good. Until you ask yourself, then why does the hair on the Red Hulk's head remain?
I was just wondering that.
Is it just impossible for a Hulk to grow a good beard? So many inconsistencies. I actually do have another nerd-based theory as to why it disappears, but that's for another show. We'll see if it, you know, comes up another time. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Sam, do you have any questions before we get started?
Yeah, I mean, are we starting fully transformed, or do we need to take into account what is the transformation window for each of these combatants?
Sure. So I worked out this morning. I had a, you know, really good meals, what have you. I'm still fully pumped, transformed into my super self. Ray has clearly not worked out, but this is not the, you know, different for Ray.
No, but I am clearly not in my automotive form right now. So
correct.
To be fair, Sam Proof, the show is called He-Man versus Red Hulk, not Thaddeus versus Adam. Even though I did say that earlier. Don't worry about that.
Wow. Way to play up to the judge, Ray. So yes, they're both already transformed. Although we will witness Prince Adam hold up the sword and transform into He-Man, and Red Hulk will be like, that was pretty cool. All right, let's fight. So, you know, there's that instant respect kind of thing.
True.
Sorry. Sometimes I just love where these shows go. All right, Ray, listen. It's episode 2, season 7. It is time to get this party started. Here's where your point number one.
I'll be honest, before I get started, I really want some fan art now of Red Hulk with a giant, bushy Thaddeus Ross mustache. I feel like Marvel really missed something by not having a gigantic, you know, Tom Selleck mustache rocking on the Red Hulk. I mean, Marvel, make this right. Marvel, make this right. Point number one for He-Man. We're going to talk about his power, of course, because He-Man is the most powerful man in the universe, Judge Sam Proof. Not just like the neighborhood, the universe. What does that mean? It means that He-Man is really strong. Wow, what a point Ray's making. No one thought of that. He lifts giant boulders, and he lifts giant statues, like the Colossus of Rhodes, and he throws them. He throws them at his opponents. He throws them to other area codes. It doesn't matter. If you have a giant piece of something, He-Man's going to rip it out, and he's going to throw it away. I've seen him knock out a kaiju-sized, two-headed serpent. He punched it out, grabbed it by the tail, whipped it around like it was a hammer throw, and threw it into and through the clouds. That's what he does. Well, one of my favorite moves that happens in pro wrestling is when a bunch of like bad guy characters jump on like Hulk Hogan, and then they're just on top of him throwing punches and kicks, and he throws his arms up in the air, and all of the villains go flying. You know the bit that I'm talking about. Well, He-Man did that exact bit too. Jackal Man, Slythe, Beast Man, Trapjaw, Triclops, Vulture Man, and Monkeyan. Half of those I didn't even know were characters until I started my research. But he did it to every single one of the He-Man opponents is some unbelievably like Hercules level strength character. These are people who, left to their own devices, Trapjaw can like punch down a mountain. And He-Man is doing this to those kind of guys. As we know from the comic books, the fact that He-Man's been in both Marvel and DC means he's had opportunities to do crazy things. Like one time Bane, he got super amped up on his venom. He went and threw a massive haymaker at He-Man, and He-Man just flicked his arm up in the air and blocked a Bane super powered punch like it was absolutely nothing. Bane could not believe it. In fact, Skeletor one time threw a bunch of magical fire to be a barrier to He-Man in one of his first comic book appearances. What did He-Man do? He punched the wall of magical fire away. He punched fire and made it go away. He also tanks hits, or he at least dodges them, from basically every single character in the series. What does that mean? As I mentioned before, each one of them is a monster in their own right. There was a planet-sized earthquake on one of his comics, and he held up a column to hold up the entire Colosseum. He held up a Colosseum by lifting a pillar up and did it in the middle of an earthquake that affected the entire planet. Ridiculous. Oh, does he get battle cap for this battle? I think He-Man gets battle cap for this battle. Action figure rules apply, which means that he has the power of Cringer, aka Battle Cap, to ride around on, use as a distraction, and fight in a two-on-one environment. Obviously, He-Man runs at super speeds. He's been seen going faster than the eye can see in comics, related that he's stolen people's weapons out of their hands before they even have a chance to react, as in, he's now holding the weapon before the person even realizes the weapon is gone. That's the level of speed we're talking. And durability. He has a healing factor. We see him get smashed, burned, his throat slashed open in some of these later comics, and he's basically fully regenerated the very next page of the comic. It's hard to do anything that keeps He-Man down. You know why? Because he's the most powerful man in the universe. And the final feat from comics, the crazy one, he once picked up a gem. And this gem had, like, magical properties. It was all the way far away from where it came from, but in order to prevent some sort of cataclysmic world event, the gem needed to be back in place again before, like, sunrise, right? It's something like that, at least. He-Man, in his infinite wisdom, grabbed the gem and threw it 80,000 miles per hour. So over the course of a couple of hours, it went as far as it needed to, perfectly lodged back in place again, in the spot to prevent the cataclysmic event from happening. So he could pick up a gem and throw it 80,000 miles per hour. That would go through Red Hulk's body, super skin or not. And that's my point number one.
All right, I got to push back on a lot of this. Normally I wouldn't for the point number one, but Ray, you just kind of overstepped here with your nonsense, as Race the Kings would say it. First of all, He-Man's opponents, Trapjaw, Triclops, etc., etc. Look, some of them are kind of powerful. They have different abilities. Ray, you said that they could knock down mountains. That's not the standard issue for He-Man villains whatsoever. That's not what they do.
I'm not saying
they're not strong, but they're just nowhere near that powerful. Nice try. By the way, you mentioned He-Man from Marvel, from DC, from the animated series, from different comic book lines who are probably not associated with either one. Pick a lane. Remember, you got to figure out what version of He-Man you're using. I can't tell. Right now, you're using 4 to 5 different versions of He-Man.
Comic book version, James. What? I have not mentioned an animated feat yet. Everything I've just said comes straight out of the pages of comic books. Now,
which version of comic books? Marvel? Oh, DC?
James, I believe I was very clear. The comic book version of He-Man. I don't know why this is so difficult for your Canadian brain to understand.
Canadians just need some kind of exact thing that's going on. All right, moving on. Battle Cat. You want to involve Battle Cat in this. Why do you hate Battle Cat to get him involved with Red Hulk? I'll explain later what Red Hulk does to animals. It's not nice. Sorry, kids at home. Battle Cat's not going to like being involved with this battle for long. And finally, in terms of speed, yeah, Red Hulk deals with characters like the Silver Surfer, who as fast as He-Man proclaims to be, and I'm sure it's super fast, it's nothing compared to the Silver Surfer, who can transverse galaxies very, very quickly. And Red Hulk has, you know, some great feats against that character. All right, let me get to my point number one. Let's talk about the physicals of the Red Hulk, because we're just going to go there. Of course, he's got Hulk level super strength. Imagine catching an airplane in midair, shifting entire tectonic plates, or smashing a moon sized comet barreling toward Earth. Again, something that's barreling towards Earth with that kinetic energy and all that mass. That is insane, especially if it's a moon sized thing. That's just a typical day for the Red Hulk. His strength is absolutely off the charts. He's got pretty much near impenetrable durability. He can take a punch from the Hulk, tank Thor's hammer, survive nukes, falls from outer space, even during an entire Avengers team crashing down him. Calling him tough might be an understatement. He's got colossal leaps. Ever heard of someone jumping from the moon back to Earth? The Red Hulk has. His ability to leap like these crazy huge distances is right on par from what we've seen from the Green Hulk. He's got superhuman speed as well. Look, he's obviously not quite, or not even quite, he's obviously not in the Flash's level or even close, but he can move faster than Iron Man's armor can track. That's a thing, and Iron Man can track super speed. That means he's pretty darn quick, even by superhero standards. Okay, healing factor. All right, Red Hulk's got a regenerative healing factor. Rip his head off. The time it actually did happen, which took quite a lot, it happened only once, by the way, turned out to be no problem. He just grew it back within a series of several comic book panels. It's this kind of rapid healing that makes him almost impossible to keep down. Any type of instant healing the Hulk has, such as coming back from a skeleton to full body within a few comic book panels, that's absolutely duplicatable by the Red Hulk. He's got limitless stamina, fighting for an entire day without breaking sweat. Red Hulk can do that if he wants to. His endurance is practically endless. He's got gamma radiation emission. This is where he's different from the Hulk. This is where things also get wild. When the Red Hulk powers up, when he gets angry, he glows like he's on fire, emitting so much heat and energy that even Thor got burned just by being in contact with him. That's Thor. If you have to put anyone in comparison to He-Man from the Marvel Universe, go ahead and put Thor right in there. And Thor gets burnt touching the super temperatures of the Red Hulk. He-Man has a little bit of a problem in this area in terms of durability. More on that later, don't you worry. Now let's talk about pure power. He's stronger than Omega-level mutants. This is cool. Magneto, who ranks up there with the Iceman as Rey's favorite Omega-level mutant, Magneto couldn't hold Red Hulk with his most intense magnetic fields. Magneto, by the way, is the guy who can literally move the planet Earth around to change the magnetic fields, whatever, and he couldn't hold the Red Hulk. That's how scary strong this guy is. He's too much for these characters named Utopia and the Phoenix Force. So in one point, it was Avengers versus X-Men. Cyclops, powered by the Phoenix Force, you know, that cosmic entity that rivals Galactus, Phoenix Force powered Cyclops couldn't contain him with that power. When a being that devours planets gets mentioned in the same breath, you know you're dealing with something absolutely unreal. He had a battle with his character named Doc Green. Doc Green is this hyper-intelligent and way more super powerful version of the Hulk. And as he's fighting him, their blows shook the entire United States. Literally, the ground quaked from coast to coast. Oh, fun fact, the Red Hulk also survived a black hole. That's right, he withstood the pull of a black hole. When in it came out, withstood the pull, demonstrating a level of strength that's on a cosmic scale. That's just next level tough. And of course, you can't forget his thunderclaps of doom. I just love it because the Red Hulk's thunderclaps can shatter super tornadoes. Yes, that's a thing. He can literally clap his hands so hard that a raging whirlwind out of, you know, that's made from He-Man spinning really fast like he does would be completely put out of existence. When you compare him to someone like He-Man, it's almost not fair because, yeah, He-Man's insanely strong, but the Red Hulk has dealt with threats way beyond and way more powerful than anything He-Man has faced, and the Red Hulk walked away the winner more often than not. All that's my point number one.
James, you couldn't be more wrong with a statement like that, and I will take the rest of this battle to explain why. The things that you described as far as strength goes, when he jumped in the air and then like grabbed a jet and threw it another direction, that is like the lowest level He-Man feat. Has Red Hulk ever thrown a gem 80,000 miles an hour? No. Has he planned to be the man in any of these situations? He's more of a destructive force than he is He-Man needing to do the impossible in order to win the day. Also, now the Red Hulk, why is he able to beat Silver Surfer and some of these cosmic beings? Because the Red Hulk can absorb any kind of biological energy. That's an important distinction to make. This includes the power cosmic, seen in the Marvel Universe as a biological energy. The thing is, He-Man is full of magical energy. The Power Sword is magical. That is not a biological energy that Red Hulk can absorb. Therefore, Red Hulk essentially rises to the level of his opponent. He's fighting, you know, a standard strong person. He absorbs that energy and he beats him. He's facing Silver Surfer. He rises to that level. But he can't rise to the level of He-Man because there's nothing there for him to absorb.
If only I had something in store that showed completely the opposite of what you just said to be true.
It's a shame you don't.
I know, I just wish I did. You know, we'll figure this out, though, some other way. All right, let's go to the judge. Sam, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Yeah, I mean, it's so close right now. It still feels like it's just going to be knocking blows back and forth and like healing and taking a small rest and coming back. And it's like, is there a point where somebody gets knocked out of their barbarian state?
Interesting. Interesting. Wow. That is something to ponder. All right, cool. You heard it here first, Legion of Audience. Sam proved our judge is looking for something in particular for this battle. So far, it's a tie. Let's see what's about to happen. Stay tuned for point number two.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And we're back. Ray, what you got? Hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for He-Man. We're going to talk about the Power Sword. I intended to go in a different direction, but there was so many things to talk about. His magical Power Sword, I had to give it its own a point to itself. Now, seemingly, He-Man can summon his sword magically out of thin air. If somehow he gets it removed from him, he can just sort of like recall it. Not quite like Thor's hammer. The way it kind of worked is it seemed like it materialized in front of him and he could just grab it. It was really kind of wild. It's a comic page, so I couldn't really understand what was happening, but that's what happened. Now, also, if he does get the sword like knocked out of his hand or something, the sword itself has self-defense magic, which prevents other people from using it, James. So I'm going to cut you off right there. Red Hulk is not taking the Sword of Power and turning it against He-Man. It's just not going to work. Now, the sword itself can draw power in any universe. It doesn't matter. He-Man's been taken to other dimensions away from Castle Grayskull, and normally it can absorb the power of Castle Grayskull and make him very powerful, right? But when taken out of that environment, it's just able to absorb all of the goodness, all of the good energy in the entire world around him, which worked even like a hell dimension. There was still enough good in this weird hell dimension to make He-Man the most powerful character of that dimension as well. I know it's a lot to take in, but essentially the sword can draw like a spirit bomb from Goku, except it doesn't take nearly as long in order to draw its power and transfer it to He-Man. Orko. But he summoned in the comics his most powerful energy binding spell he could. And the thing you got to keep in mind about comic book Orko is that while he is a joke 95% of the time, when he's like focused or mind controlled or something like that, he's capable of some pretty rough magic, okay? Well, he had his most powerful energy binding spell he could against He-Man. He-Man used the Power Sword to swat the energy back at him and like nailed him to a tree with it. Insane. He once threw the Power Sword into a time bomb Skeletor put together, which just caused it to stop working. How? I don't really understand. A giant meteor, as they called it. It was a meteor, but bigger? Well, it was basically flying, hurtling through space at him at insane levels of speed, and he went Babe Ruth on it, took his Power Sword, and slapped it into another galaxy. Ridiculous. That's a strength feat, a speed feat, all of the above. He also cut his way out of magical slime. Again, don't know how that works, but he was covered in magical slime. Power Sword cuts his way out of it. He once used his Power Sword to vibrate underwater and close a giant underwater fissure, like a tectonic plate that opened up. He somehow vibrated his sword to close it so Skeletor couldn't get out again. I don't understand the physics of He-Man. I just know that it works. Why does it work? Magic. And that's going to trump all of the above. He can use his Power Sword to reflect laser attacks. He's cut magical chains with the Power Sword that Superman himself were tied up with and could not break. Superman could not break the chains. He-Man cut those chains with the power sword. He also has some sort of weird storm-level weather control where he's able to shoot lightning out of the sword. He's also able to create like a lightning storm around him that's devastated a town at one point. Again, it just works. It's like Todd Howard said about the Fallout games. You know, they just work. He also could shoot energy beams from it and attack people at a distance with very powerful force. He's shot these energy beams to immobilize Hordak, a very powerful, you know, villain in his world. And a guy named Mosquitor was flying around and he was able to hit him from a distance with the energy beam. So he's also a very good shot with it as well. And finally, the power sword can be used to open portals to other dimensions. If Red Hulk becomes too much of a problem, He-Man could have a big burst of strength, open a portal to another dimension, grab Red Hulk, throw him in the portal, and close it up, and Red Hulk ain't coming back in 2 minutes. All of this is more than Red Hulk can deal with, and it's magic, so it's not environmental, biological energy. He can't absorb it. This power sword's putting He-Man over the top, and that's my point number two.
Again, a lot of nonsense with this. Right away, the sword, the power sword, Ray, you're saying can't be used by other people. It's got protective mechanisms. Here's the deal. It has been used by other people. We've seen this a number of times. How many times have we seen Skeletor use it?
In the cartoons, James. In comic books.
He's used the sword a number of times. No, in the comic books, he's used them a number of times as well, where he didn't actually have to use any spell or anything. He just grabbed the sword and he's got it. On top of that, look, I'm not going to deny that He-Man isn't kind of coming up with really cool ways to use a sword to vibrate things or to shoot lasers or whatever. That's awesome. But you don't see him really use the sword in a way that, I don't know, a sword master would use it to attack, to cut, to take out his enemies. It's always been, and I'm not just talking about the 80s where they had things in place where you couldn't actually cut things other than like mountains or trees or whatever it was. But like, you don't see him actually being like this master with the sword. He's great with using the sword in kind of a MacGyverism kind of way, in a different way, like Captain America, the way he uses the shield. But again, you don't see him using that sword as an actual weapon style sword and going after and slashing, cutting, beheading, doing what he would normally do. And finally, the portals thing. That's interesting because what He-Man does with portals is he travels through them. He doesn't weaponize portals. That's not something he does, which would be cool if he did, but he doesn't. There's not an example of that. So cool, he can open a portal. He might be able to reach in and grab something out, whatever, he could travel through it, but shoving someone through it and then closing it for battle, not something he does, not a tactic of his. All right, guys. So for my point number two, I've done this before with the Red Hulk, but this really bears repeating. I got to talk about his fighting strategy and what he can do as a pure fighter. So I asked this question, the Batman meets Superman analogy. And the question is this, what if Superman had Batman's combat training and tactical mindset? Would that make Superman a better fighter? Absolutely. A better tactician, you bet. More dangerous against opponents, way stronger than he is, without a doubt. And that's exactly what happens when you combine the Green Hulk's raw kind of unmatched power with General Thunderbolt Ross's, I don't know, his tactical freaking brilliance and soldier style mentality. You can't out overvalue this point at all, because unlike the mindless monster the Green Hulk is, the Red Hulk retains Ross's intelligence, his training, his fighting experience. Keep in mind, General Ross is a highly skilled and decorated soldier and combatant. Marvel's own wiki rates his combat ability on par with his insane level of strength. Let that sink in for a second. Marvel lists Red Hulk's combat ability, his fighting ability, just as high as the Hulk level of super strength. This is really crazy. That means his combat ability as the Red Hulk is off the charts. And to put this in terms we can understand, he's a very seasoned military leader. He's an expert in many forms of combat, and he's got that grit and that true never say die attitude of a member of any special forces team. Look, I love our veterans, especially when you put them into the Red Hulk's body. Other characters in Marvel make it clear, you know, that fear doesn't factor in for General Ross. He never underestimates his opponents and approaches every fight with cold, calculating precision. And on top of all this, he possesses strategic genius, the truest form of that. Decades of chasing and battling the Hulk and other superpower beings as a regular human just gave this Ross, the General Ross, insane levels of crazy experience. He uses all of this against other superpowered opponents, by the way, and has a massive win record as a human. Now, all that knowledge and battle prowess is channeled into the Red Hulk, of course. And what General Ross is really, really good at is quickly analyzing his enemy's weaknesses, especially if he's never encountered before, and then exploiting them in the heat of battle, which he did in a Who Would Win style fight against an amped up Thor of all people. Combine those smarts with the brute force of the Hulk, and it's clear why Marvel ranks the Red Hulk among pretty much the most one of the most powerful beings on the planet and one of the most dangerous beings on the planet. Now, he's got some impressive victories. He's beaten the Hulk multiple times. And as I mentioned previously, he even beat a powered up version called Doc Green. He had the strength of the Hulk plus Bruce Banner's intelligence. Actually, he was way stronger than the regular Hulk. He beat the freaking Silver Surfer, who is one of Marvel's most powerful beings. He can travel at light speed, manipulate matter, survive black holes, and who has near limitless power. That guy, that's who the Red Hulk took down. And he has a win over Odin Force Thor. This one's awesome. Thor alone is an ancient battle-tested warrior with magical crazy strength. He's like the ultimate warrior of Marvel Comics. We love him. But when you add in the Odin Force, the magical life force of Odin, Thor is off the freaking charts. And the Hulk managed to drag Thor into space, knock him Mjolnir, his hammer, out of his hand, and then use Thor's own hammer against him, thanks to just, you know, this quick and that analyzing Mjolnir and seeing that Red Hulk could use it in zero gravity, despite Mjolnir saying where only the worthy could hold it. This is someone who can come up with battle plans against an Odin Force Thor and get a quick victory. Didn't last for super long, but it still counts. Now, He-Man in comparison is strong, no doubt, but he has no real formal combat training compared to, you know, the Red Hulk, and really not a whole lot of experience facing cosmic level threats at the same regular rate that the Red Hulk does. You know, I don't know, when was the last time He-Man had to instantly devise a strategy against a foe who could crush him outright? Exactly, he hasn't. He's always had some kind of previous experience with Skeletor when Skeletor got powered up, or Hordak, or whatever it is. And this is something now where he's not going to have that experience because he's never seen the Red Hulk before. When you stack up everything General Ross brings to this table, to this fight, I should say, his military background, strategic mind, fearlessness, the overwhelming might of the Hulk, you end up with a Red Hulk, a powerhouse who's beaten some of Marvel's strongest beings and done it with brains as well as brawn. All of that is my point number two.
That's the thing about the Red Hulk series, is that he just kept beating more and more powerful people with ease. As people, it's like Bill Goldberg back in WCW 90s era. How is he beating those people? Well, they revealed that he absorbs their power, James. He beat the Silver Surfer only because the Silver Surfer was there. He was only able to rise to that level because of the power cosmic of the person he was fighting. Again, he can't absorb the magical energy of He-Man, which will severely limit the ceiling of where he can go in this battle. And James, you have the cartoon version of He-Man firmly stuck in your head. That's why I'm using the comic book one today. Look, Hordak is one of his big enemies, could not touch the power sword. It zapped him and he ran away. A second enemy could not touch the, whose name, he wasn't as powerful as Hordak, but he also could not touch the sword when he reached for it because it zapped him. Defensive magic. And comic book He-Man has buckets of blood in it. It is not family friendly necessarily. And look, Ross, Thunderbolt Ross, he's a great fighter. But he's no Batman. What are you talking about right now? He-Man is not only a top-tier fighter, his own comics refer to him as the greatest warrior of them all. And just because he's a great military leader, that means he could devise an overall plan eventually? But that means he's good at telling other people what to do in a battle, not necessarily that he's a master hand-to-hand combatant. He's definitely not a Batman who knows every martial arts ever done. Stop it, James. You're the one reaching way too far.
Ah, I love where this is going. We're both getting insanely passionate about this. Okay, look, we are at the turning point. Sam, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
You know, I think, man, it is still just so close. It really comes down to a few things here, which, you know, I think Ray has made some really strong cases on the side of magic versus, let's just say, science and biology, which isn't that the way. And I think for He-Man, it really comes down to what is that personality trait in the comic books, you know, in combat, like, is he willing to, like, take things to the dark side that a Batman would, whereas the, you know, 80s cartoon version seems like there's always just a relatively slap on the wrist, happy ending kind of thing. And for Red Hulk, it's, you know, like, yeah, how does he get past the magic? How does he, you know, deal with the power of Grayskull? And it's interesting to me that he is able to be this pure rage monster that is still able to be so strategic? Like, how does he ever rehumanize, right? But I guess that's more of a question for Ray again, in a sense. So yeah, I you know, how does he beat the magic?
Interesting, interesting, interesting. All right, this battle is getting absolutely crazy. Stay tuned for point number three.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. Ray, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three for He-Man. We're going to talk about some of his big wins and feats. Now, one cool thing about the He-Man comic books is that the Marvel version of the He-Man character is based on the cartoon series, which means I think that a handful of cartoon feats should at least be considered, given the fact that Marvel is canonized with the animated series, James. It only seems fair, which means we should probably mention that one time He-Man in the cartoon picked up and threw Castle Grayskull back to Eternia from like another dimension. Picked it up and threw it. He once pushed a mountain into astrological alignment. And lest we forget, James, your favorite example, he got in his little spaceship, flew up and shoved a moon out of orbit to change the tides, and then flew up later and pushed the moon back into its normal orbit again when the coast was clear. That's a level of strength that Red Hulk is not prepared to handle. But let's talk about the real comic book version a little bit more, because DC Comics did some crazy things. He fought a pre-crisis Superman, maybe the most powerful version of Superman we have ever seen. Now, he was able to fight Superman for several minutes before finally, I'll be honest, Superman did get the better of him in that battle. But this is a guy who can go toe-to-toe with Superman for an extended period of time. Ask yourself this question. Do you really believe Red Hulk can go toe-to-toe with Superman for any length of time whatsoever? Because I sure don't. I think in 15 to 20 seconds, Superman eliminates the Red Hulk completely, but he could not do that to He-Man. So even at a loss, I think he's showing something right there. And we're not done with Superman here, because He-Man once sent Injustice Superman flying to the stratosphere with a single punch. If you could punch Superman and send him practically into orbit, what happens when you punch the mere Red Hulk? He's not Superman, and he can't fly. It's going to be rough. But he's also a skilled combatant as well. He-Man has won sword battles with characters such as Ninjor and Blade. Those in the He-Man universe are the two greatest swordsmen besides He-Man, and He-Man purely with the sword has defeated both of them. Not to mention his straightforward wins over characters like Merman, Beastman, Hordak, and of course Skeletor. He gets in a 1v1 situation against essentially anybody from his universe, but it's usually like 4 or 5v1 at least. He always defeats them. He always comes through and gets it done. And now the crazy stuff. He once was with Superman, okay? They tag teamed together and fought 1 billion Trollin warriors. That is billion with a B. We all know the difference between a million and a billion. It's like 11 days of seconds versus 31 years of seconds. Him and Superman went Legolas and Gimli and fought 1 billion Trollins to victory. That's absolutely outrageous. In fact, one of my favorite moments that James mentioned a long time ago is when He-Man was in DC Comics and he took down Lobo, Deathstroke, Killer Frost, Gorilla Grodd, and Solomon Grundy one after the other with basically one shot apiece. Do you think Lobo would capture Red Hulk and take him in? I do. Do you think Deathstroke has the skills to take down Red Hulk? I do. Gorilla Grodd's mind control taking down Red Hulk? I think he would win. No, He-Man one-shotted each of these characters in turn and went to victory. But let's talk about the big stuff right here. James, earlier, you said that you don't think Red Hulk, you don't think that Red Hulk is on the Flash's level. You said that on this show. You said, well, the Flash is probably a cut above Red Hulk. Well, guess what He-Man did? He once one-shotted the Flash. He hit him and knocked him unconscious. So if Red Hulk isn't on the Flash's level, and He-Man one-shotted the Flash, let me do some transitive property here. Obviously, He-Man would destroy Red Hulk. And this is the best one right here. A clone of Superman that had all his power, strength, and abilities. Superman clone came up on He-Man, okay? Shot him in the eyeballs with his heat vision. And He-Man tanked that shot, then took his power sword and ran through the clone of Superman with the power sword, killing him. Sam, proof, you wanted proof, weirdly enough, that He-Man would go there. He-Man would 1,000% in the comic book version, not the cartoon version, but the comic book DC version, did go there and straight up murdered a version of Superman. If you could, again, think about these characters in relation to Red Hulk. Does he hang with them? I don't think so. But He-Man does and often prevails. All that needs to be said. That's my point number three.
Well, here's the funny part about this. You know, when you talk about He-Man fighting Superman, that original comic book, because, you know, it's a comic book thing, it didn't go on for a long time. In fact, Superman had beat He-Man with two punches. First panel, Superman and He-Man both punch each other in the face. Second panel, Superman knocks out He-Man. Two punches, two panels, fight is over, and Skeletor's like, yay, because he was kind of magically controlling Superman at the time. Anyway, Superman took two punches to beat He-Man originally. And just to kind of put that into perspective, in the same time period, there's a Marvel-DC crossover. This is how much of a nerd I am, Sam Proof, where Superman actually fights the Hulk, the Green Hulk, similar power to Red Hulk without the fighting ability, mind you. And it takes him several pages to actually beat the Hulk, and he takes a lot of shots. And, you know, it's not too good, but it's definitely a much more competitive fight than the He-Man was, if you're going to compare, you know, apples and oranges and apples and all that kind of good stuff. In terms of tagging the Flash, saying, well, if He-Man could tag the Flash, then that makes sure that because Red Hulk is not as fast as the Flash, that's a big thing. Remember, Catwoman took out three versions of the Flash on her own. So I like how you're comparing Catwoman to He-Man. That's an awesome comparison, Race to Canis. Kudos to you. All right, let me get to my point number three. And for my point number three, as I get to it, we're just going to talk about some more wins for the Red Hulk and some really cool thing the Red Hulk can do. So the Red Hulk's got a lot of crazy victories. I mentioned he's beaten the Hulk many times. He's also beaten different and more powerful versions of the Hulk, such as Doc Green. He beat this character called the Cosmic Hulk version of that Hulk by grabbing him by the head and neck and literally tearing him in half. Fun times. He beat Spider-Man, the Abomination, the Punisher, Deadpool, Thor, Iron Man, Wolverine, by punching his face off. He's even got a win over Beta Ray Bill, another really cool version of Marvel that, you know, should take on the Hulk, He-Man as well. He has a list of cosmic level beings he's beaten as well. He knocked out a Watcher of the Universe. Watcher is someone who tries to stay invisible and just watch and kind of, you know, take notes of what's going on. And Red Hulk beat the Watcher and then knocked him out and then beat him some more because I guess he just didn't like to be watched. Who does? Keep in mind that a Watcher is just slightly less powerful than Thanos with like maybe one or two of the Infinity Stones. He beat a character called the Wendigo, who is the Hulk class level, white looking Sasquatch supernatural being who terrorizes Northern Canada. And Red Hulk didn't just beat him. He also, this is horrible, kids at home, he also cut his head off and put it on display to send a message to the other Wendigos in the area not to mess with them. Red Hulk beat the Reality Warper known as the Grandmaster. This is one of the greatest intellects of the Marvel Universe. The Grandmaster likes to pit, you know, create these big, huge battles between heroes and villains, whatever, on a cosmic scale and just see, hey, what's going to happen? Let's play a big game. And Red Hulk firstly beats the Grandmaster's own game by defeating and then killing the team he assembled one after another. Speaking of really great wins, Race to Canis, this team was the Hulk, Namor, the Silver Surfer, and Doctor Strange. And then Red Hulk physically beat up the Grandmaster when he didn't like that the Red Hulk won their game, and then Grandmaster decided not to honor the wager. Another almost omnipotent being who can warp reality, and Red Hulk beat him like crazy. It was awesome. Now, let's focus on something really cool. Let's go ahead and focus on He-Man's sword for a second, and this is going to play big in this fight, as the Red Hulk has one very big specialty when it comes to fighting, which is the fact that he is a master at using a person's weapons against them, or taking them away from them at first, and then using them against them as well. In Hulk Volume 2, Issue 5, he uses Mjolnir to drag Thor into outer space. He takes advantage of being in a weightless environment. Talked about this before. He then swings a hammer and takes Thor out. That is awesome. He used Mjolnir against Thor. Who would have thunk it? In Hulk Volume 2, Issue number 12, Red Hulk managed a 2-for-1 special on cosmic weapons in a battle with his character named Terrax, who is a Galactus-powered herald with cosmic energy and all this kind of cool stuff. And he beat Silver Surfer. Then this is what happened. Red Hulk took Terrax's cosmic axe, beheaded him with it, and then absorbed his power, then chased after Silver Surfer, grabbed him, absorbed his cosmic powers. Then he rode off into the dark dimension, this crazy place, with a cosmic axe in one hand while riding Silver Surfer's board. That's awesome. When He-Man starts swinging his sword, and most likely not in the most lethal way, mind you, Red Hulk will be able to most likely take it away from him and then use it against He-Man. See, here's the thing. The Red Hulk has one more power. Ray, you already mentioned it, but this is cool. He has the ability to absorb energy, all types of energy, cosmic energy. But here's the thing, Ray Sicanus, he even has the power to absorb magical energy. There's this really cool arc, story arc, a group of ancient Mayan gods, a big group of them, they awaken, they start wreaking havoc, and the energies that kind of empower all these beings, these Mayan gods, gets absorbed by the Red Hulk, who then starts killing one by one, defeating them. So he absorbed magical energy of gods right there. Red Hulk another time teams up with Venom, X-23, and the new Ghost Rider, and stops his character named Blackheart from unleashing a literal hell on earth scenario in Las Vegas. And Red Hulk absorbed Blackheart's magical energy, demonic magical supernatural energy. So all of a sudden, he's absorbing huge godlike supernatural energy. I wonder if he can do that to He-Man. He can. Now, here's the deal. What happens to He-Man when his power gets absorbed? Oh, yeah, that's right. He reverts back to Prince Adam. Is Red Hulk going to kill Prince Adam? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe he flicks him away, takes him out. He's definitely going to defeat him. And that's just one of the many ways where the Red Hulk can win. Look, again, you're talking about someone who can be ruthless, who's got the tactics, the intelligence, the power of the Red Hulk, the power to heat up where even Thor gets burnt if he touches him. Good luck with that with He-Man. And on top of that, he can absorb all types of energy, especially magical energy, which he'll absorb from both the sword and He-Man himself. In the end, Red Hulk's winning this battle. That's my point number three.
Absolutely not. Biological energy, James. Magic is not naturally occurring in nature. And that's not the type of energy. I know you're trying to dance around it. That's not actually the type of energy that Red Hulk can get.
He just absorbed God energy.
Yes, that's natural energy from... He absorbed the power cosmic as well, which is essentially God energy. But it's naturally occurring God energy, not made of magic. If he's able to absorb Doctor Strange and use the sling ring, then get back to me. But he doesn't, because he can't. And the Superman 2 panels of punching, you left out a lot of detail there, because Superman cheap-shotted He-Man at the start of that battle. He-Man grabbed Superman by the cape and smashed him around like Hulk did to Loki in the Avengers movie, at which point Superman hits him twice to knock him down, and then Superman flew away as He-Man stood up unharmed. Why do you need to pretend things that are not true, outrageous? And Red Hulk, as I said before, he has a built-in cheat code against the people of his universe. He absorbs that biological power. That's not going to work at He-Man. In fact, Bruce Banner in that universe has removed that ability from him, and it took him a long time to kind of come back to any kind of a level after that was scientifically removed. Now, the big weakness of Red Hulk to talk about and how he could revert back is, in Marvel Comics, the thing we're discussing, when Red Hulk gets angry, his body temperature gets hotter, right? That's his whole deal. That's why he's the Red Hulk. And he becomes very, very hot. Very, very. If you're not He-Man, you're not really going to touch him. But when this goes too far, when he hits He-Man with all the power that doesn't line up with Superman's, that hasn't been able to keep him down, it actually weakens him. Red Hulk is not the Hulk in the way the Hulk has no upper limit to his power. Red Hulk does. And if it becomes too intense, he gets lower in power, eventually depowering him back to Thunderbolt Ross completely if they can get him angry enough. Do you think He-Man, who can hang in there with Superman, can hang in there with Red Hulk long enough to depower him, I absolutely do. At the end of the day, He-Man wins one of several different ways, and there's not much Red Hulk can do about it.
All interesting stuff. Listen, Sam, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Sam has to say, let's celebrate the Hoodwin Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Hoodwin Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, we're going to get a little bit fun. You've heard my new pitch for Patreon before and after the show. We let James do it for 2 years. Let's actually grow the darn thing. Come and do it. Danielle Ledesma Smith, thank you for being a patron. Thank you for being a patron for a while. You are our patron of the week.
Wow, I like that little slam in there, Ray. Okay, let's do this. Let's have Danielle go against, I'm just, spitballing here, picking anything out of random. Let's just have him go against the 1989 Detroit Lions with a rookie Barry Sanders at running back.
Honestly, that was not a particularly great team. There was a reason they were able to get Barry Sanders at running back with, I believe, the 3rd overall pick, because they were the 3rd worst team in the NFL the year before. They did not make the playoffs in 1989. As much as I love my Detroit Lions, look, 15-2, number one seed, and at Kings of the North, it's the greatest football team in the history of football, but that 1989 team was not. Now, would they beat Danielle Ledesma Smith? That's tough. She has the power of the Legion of Audience on her side. That means she doesn't come by herself. Unlike Who Would Win rules, there's 11 people on offense, defense, and special teams. So Danielle's going to get 32 members of the Patreon community to join her. So she's going to have a lot of other luminaries in the crew. Jude Fulton, going to be there. Douglas Rygert Johnson, going to be there. Felix Kalt, Forbidden Mob, Sarvis, Lord Snurts, Matthew Dawson, even Delvin Cox is going to be there, although he's going to pull a hammy and he's going to have to step on out. The point I'm trying to make is, can Danielle Ledesma Smith beat the Lions by herself? No, but with the powers of the Legion of Audience, I can't see how she doesn't. That team wasn't very good.
Wow, that was awesome. Well done, Danielle. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Sam, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process, tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between He-Man and the Red Hulk.
All right, this is harder than trying to figure out what to drink at night. Anyway, yeah, it's really like a pound for pound punch out, right? And like you've set it up where we have, Red Hulk on a rampage in Eternia, and He-Man comes out to face this foe on Battle Cat. So we've got the 2-1, and maybe that's a little something for an advantage immediately as a distraction. I thought Ray's point about the portal was like a hands down, this is a definitive victory scenario. Just remove, the Red Hulk from the situation and that wins it. But if this is not something he's done, then in the heat of the moment, I don't think he's going to. And I don't think that's the way this is going to end. I don't think the portal was the answer, because it's just not something that he had in his bag of tricks. It's something he would have had to have learned along the way. And with Red Hulk, that is just too big a threat to pull that sort of strategic move out of thin air. Like, it feels like it has a lot of work to get this big thing into this small portal, and I don't think that's the way. And even if he started to try and go down that road, Red Hulk is going to lash out and make some really serious connections. And yeah, maybe he's got that super healing. They both do. He-Man comes back. He bounces up. He's trying to use the, power of Grayskull. He's trying to use the sword. And, maybe that can gets knocked out of his hands once or twice. Red Hulk gulps to grab it. And then He-Man does have that instant recall. He gets that sword right away, right back. And he's done with the, there's probably a peaceful solution to this. So then we're just back down to the brute strength of it all, and they're both raging as hard as they can, and He-Man's going all out because he doesn't have any other bag. He doesn't have anything else left in his bag of tricks. He has to go for the kill, and Red Hulk is going to meet him. And what is that? What does that look like? He's going to rage out as red can go, and as any flame would be. Is he going to flame out and become General Ross because he's overdone it? I think so. And therefore, He-Man wins the battle.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay.
And there you have it.
Here's the thing. I don't actually agree with absolutely everything you're saying. I do see the logic. But yet, on the other hand, in my head, I'm still just picturing 80s iconic He-Man, whose instrumental version of the theme song I play when I work out all the time.
I don't blame you.
And get massive gains, by the way. So I can't say I'm upset with this because I'm picturing, you know, 80s He-Man beating the Red Hulk. And for some reason, that's much more satisfying than the version of He-Man that Ray tried to portmanteau and collect and put together. So in a weird way, I actually really like your decision the way it's appearing in my head whatsoever. Now, with that being said, I think I brought up some great points. Ray did a great job of taking great points from every version of comic book He-Man there was, which goes against the who would win rules. You got to specify the exact version of the character you're using, but whatever, race the case, I get it. You couldn't handle the comic version of Red Hulk with one version. You had to do what you did. Still a victory for me. All good. With that being said, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, how you're feeling right now.
I don't know why you're whining and being so petty, James. It's named the version of the character, and I very clearly said the comic book version of the character. I can't help it that your small brain can't wrap around the idea that He-Man is multiversal. He-Man is everywhere and everything. He-Man has appeared in several different series of comic books. You, who've used every version of Predator as the one Predator in a battle, you, who have used every single comic book version of the Ninja Turtles and still lost against the Russian Guardians. I just wanted to bring up the fact that I beat you with the Ninja Turtles with the Russian Guardians. All this put together means Ray is now 2-2-2-2-0 on the new season 7. I'm pretty sure right now I'm going to go 51-0 and I'm going to skunk James. He's not going to win a single battle this entire year. I am bringing the heat. This is it. The ultimate season of the Who Would Win show. And you know that means every single week I'm going to be bringing the heat. I'm going to be bringing the fire and I'm going to be bringing credulity to its knees. The point in all of this is hashtag Ray is right.
Yeah, I still like what I'm seeing in my head, the iconic 80s version of He-Man, you know, with that great music in the background, and General Ross is trying to fight him whenever, and still gets the sword away from him and tries to use it, and then He-Man punches a mountain or something. Or fun fact, by the way, He-Man in the 80s actually did punch some characters. You just didn't see it. It was alluded to. You saw He-Man throw that punch in that POV thing to the camera, and then the next shot, smash cut, to that villain flying through the air. So he did actually punch people in the face. I can see him doing that to the Red Hulk. Again, how this looks in my head, much better than anything Ray Sikanis brought up. Sam Proof, you are awesome. I love how you're kind of asking these questions. You were very consistent throughout this entire match saying, here's what I need to see. Here's what I need to see the Red Hulk do. Here's what I need to see He-Man do. And then I brought it to you, and somehow you still picked He-Man. All good. With that being said, please come back on the show. We love the fact that you're doing all this awesome work. So in the meantime, tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online. And again, one more time, how they can contribute and help you out with everything you do.
Yeah, I mean, you can find me on just about any social media as Sam Proof, or go to samproof.tv. And if you want to find out more about the cats and all of the good work we're doing there, it's Cute Avalanche on all of their socials, cuteavalanche.com. Our 24/7 live stream is on just about any streaming platform, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, any of those. And you can find out more about there. And my cat's coming over right now to join me to get her face on. But yeah, you know, if you're a cat lover, reach out and see what you can do.
Absolutely great stuff. I love it, Sam Proof. All right, Ray Sikanis, you got another victory today. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
You know, so far in season 7, this has been a very Detroit Lions-centric broadcast. Both times have you been bringing up the greatest NFL team in history. And I don't blame you, because much like the 2024-2025 Detroit Lions, I can't stop winning. I can't stop winning to save my life. You're going to have to trot out Buffalo Bill, the killer from Silence of the Lambs. I'm trying to make an analogy here, and it's failing miserably. The point I'm trying to make is just like the Detroit Lions from this season, I'm winning it all. I'm taking it down this year, and I'll be here to cackle gleefully every single step of the way. You can find me on Threads, the only social media site, at Almighty Ray 316.
Very cool. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Cicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Ray back one more time, and there is a 1-in-2 chance that I'm very happy with the results of this past episode. One more reminder that if you'd like to join in with the Legion of Audience, you can go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and support what we do. That's it. That's the message. Time to start my research on next week's battle. I'll see you there. Remember crying when Optimus Prime died?
Or the days when every series had a ham-fisted anti-drug episode?
Or when you wrote fan fiction about how the Animaniacs were so hot in that water tower so they took off all their clothes and they started...
No!
Different podcast.
This one is Knowing is Half the Podcast, a show devoted to the best and worst animated memories of your childhood.
Every week we recap a cartoon from the past to see if they're as good as you remember.
They're not.
What are you talking about? They're great!
You're both wrong. None of them get good until they're in a water tower.
No!
And Knowing is Half the Podcast.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.